Translation. At the same time, many hundreds of well-known prostitutes began to proceed on various vehicles. They were all very eager to meet the Lord, and their beautiful faces were decorated with dazzling earrings, which enhanced the beauty of their foreheads. Purport. We may not hate even the prostitutes if they are devotees of the Lord. Even to date, there are many prostitutes in great cities of India who are sincere devotees of the Lord. By tricks of chance, one may be obliged to adopt a profession which is not very adorable in society. But that does not hamper one in executing devotional service to the Lord. Devotional service to the Lord is uncheckable in all circumstances. It is understood herewith that even in those days, about 5,000 years ago, there were prostitutes in a city like Dwaraka, where Lord Krishna resided. This means that the prostitutes are necessary citizens for the proper upkeep of society. The government opens wine shops, but this does not mean that the government encourages the drinking of wine. The idea is that there is a class of men who will drink at any cost, and it has been experienced that prohibition in great cities encouraged illicit smuggling of wine. Similarly, men who are not satisfied at home require such concessions. And if there is no prostitute, then such low men will induce others into prostitution. It is better that prostitutes be available in the marketplace so that the sanctity of society can be maintained. It is better to maintain a class of prostitutes than to encourage prostitutes within society. The real reformation is to enlighten all people to become devotees of the Lord, and that will check all kinds of deteriorating factors of life. In other words, well, I'll tell you the story. There's a lady who has a talk show in America, and she's a bit conservative, religious, and heavy. And so she often counsels young girls in toxic relationships. And once a girl called up and said, I'm with this boy for 3 years, and he doesn't want to marry me. And she said, well, are you having sex with him? And she said, yes. And she said, and then the talk show host said, how much are you charging? And she was taken aback and said, what do you mean? He said, well, if he's not going to marry you and you're having sex, you're a prostitute, so you should at least get paid. So Prabhupada said something here that might be confusing. He said, you need prostitutes so there won't be prostitutes. In other words, you'll need prostitutes so girls won't prostitute themselves. They don't have to prostitute themselves, because there's a class of prostitutes that men can go to. Now, Prabhupada's going to talk about the story of Bilba Mangala Thakur. And Prabhupada refers to Bilba Mangala Thakur going to visit a prostitute. And that's how we know the story. But Prabhupada said, actually, she was his girlfriend. But he said, because he was going there for sex, girlfriend, prostitute, same thing. Sex is for having children within wedlock. Outside of wedlock, it's prostitution. Call it a prostitute or a girlfriend, Prabhupada said the same thing. So in order to prevent girls who want to be chaste from men who don't want them to be chaste, then there's a class of prostitutes. And so the men can go there. And Prabhupada also said the feminist movement was actually very much I don't know if it was created by the men, that may be, but definitely encouraged by the men. Because feminism was, we can do what the guys do. So what do the guys do? Guys know what they do. When they see a girl, they, you know, they don't think, I want to marry you. They think of other things. So then the girls are thinking, well, we can do the same thing. So, girlfriend, prostitute, same thing. Of course, now, we have a problem here. This all makes sense, right? Okay, we can understand there are going to be men like this, just like there are going to be people who drink wine, so the government can regulate it. They'll charge taxes and so forth. And in some countries or places, it's only sold during the week. It's not sold on Sunday. And in one state in the U.S., it's a Mormon state, and it's only sold in government stores, certain hours, certain times, like that. So some regulation. But then Prabhupada says these prostitutes were devotees, which kind of throws a wrench in the whole thing. How is that? They're devotees. Because one would think that's not the profession of devotees. Right? Yes? Yeah. One would think, anyway. And Prabhupada is saying that here, what did he use the word by the tricks of chance? So somehow or other, they're born in this situation. They have no other ways, no other means of income. But they're devotees, and devotees means whatever they do, it's for Krishna. And all the results are given to Krishna. Interesting, isn't it? I'll leave you to think about that one for a while, and then we'll go on and read. Sri Bilvamangala Thakur, a great acharya of the Vishnu Swami Vaishnava sect, in his household life, was overly attached to a prostitute who happened to be a devotee of the Lord. Not only a devotee of the Lord, this gets even more strange, she became his guru. Who's your guru? Oh, you know the prostitute down the street? Oh, that's my guru. It's like, what? This is really interesting, isn't it? Hare Krishna. One night when the Thakur came to Chintamani's house in torrents of rain and thunder, Chintamani was astonished to see how the Thakur could come on such a dreadful night after crossing a foaming river which was full of waves. She said to Thakur Bilvamangala that his attraction for the flesh and bone of an insignificant woman like her would be properly utilized if it could be diverted to the devotional service of the Lord to achieve attraction for the transcendental beauty of the Lord. It was a momentous hour for the Thakur, and he took a turn towards spiritual realization by the words of a prostitute. Later on, the Thakur accepted the prostitute as his spiritual master, and in several places of his literary works, he has glorified the name of Chintamani, who showed him the right path. So I think one thing that's obvious is the context of that social system is much different from what we're facing today. And that's why we're having difficulty understanding this. You have another story. Perhaps you've heard this story. There was a husband and wife, and the husband lived near a prostitute, and he got in his mind that he wanted to meet that prostitute, but he didn't have money to pay for her. So his wife was very devoted, and she knew her husband wanted that. So she went to the house of the prostitute and just started serving her, cleaning and whatever. And the prostitute said, why are you doing this? What do you want? And she said, well, my husband wants to enjoy with you, but he has no money. So I'm serving you. She said, okay, bring him over. So they come over. And she cooks meat. He's actually a Brahmin. She cooks meat in a golden pot, and she cooks sattvic food in an iron pot. And she brings him both, and she says, the meat was cooked in a gold pot, and the simple sabji, sattvic food was cooked in an iron pot. Which one do you want? And he said, well, I want the sattvic food. And he said, yes, your wife is like the sattvic food, and I am like the meat in a gold pot. So here's a prostitute preaching. Isn't that interesting? So the society is much different, obviously, at that time. Even the prostitutes are, some of them are Krishna conscious. And they're seeing here this, you know, unfortunate man doesn't realize the value of his wife, and he's giving him a she's giving him a lesson. Another thing about the prostitutes is that they were respected. They weren't considered outcasts. And you'll find in different places in the Bhagavatam, when there's celebrations, the prostitutes are part of that, and they sing and they dance. That's what they do. And they're very beautiful, kind of like you kind of get the impression they're like movie stars. And so it's just a different culture, a different position. In the Bhagavad Gita 9:32, the Lord says, Osana Prata, even the low-born chandalas and those who are born in a family of unbelievers, and even the prostitutes shall attain perfection of life if they take shelter of unalloyed devotional service to me, because in the path of devotional service there are no impediments due to degraded birth and occupation. The path is open for everyone who agrees to follow it. It appears that the prostitutes of Dwaraka, who were so eager to meet the Lord, were all his unalloyed devotees, and thus they were all on the path of salvation, according to the above version of Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, the only reformation that is necessary in society is to make an organized effort to turn the citizens into devotees of the Lord, and thus all good qualities of the denizens of heaven will overtake them in their own way. On the other hand, those who are non-devotees have no good qualifications whatsoever, however they may be materially advanced. The difference is that the devotees of the Lord are on the path of liberation, whereas the non-devotees are on the path of further entanglement in material bondage. The criterion of advancement of civilization is whether the people are educated and advanced on the path of salvation. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I think one thing we can see from this purport is that we don't know a lot. Because this is kind of an astonishing purport, isn't it? Did it throw you off a little bit? Devotees are prostitutes, and no problem. Because anyone can be Krishna conscious. Anybody. And I think there's a similarity here between the transformation of Bilba Mangala Thakur. Because Bilba Mangala Thakur was born in a Brahmin family. He cultivated Brahminical life, but later on he gave it up. And one word from a prostitute completely transformed him. Isn't that amazing? He had given up his Krishna consciousness, given up his Brahminical life. Obviously degraded, he's visiting a prostitute. Who knows what else he's doing? Definitely not settled down, not responsible apparently, not a family man. Or if he is a family man, not responsible. And one word from a prostitute, phew, everything changed. It's amazing. And then we have this example that even prostitutes become devotees. So what's synonymous here is it shows the power of bhakti and the power of a pure devotee and the words of a pure devotee. And we should never underestimate that power. Prabhupada describes this in the story of Thakur Haridas. There's another prostitute story, but this prostitute was not a devotee. If she were a devotee, she would have never attempted to do what she did. She was hired to seduce Thakur Haridas, and then it was going to be photographed, so to speak. The paparazzi was there. They were going to catch him and arrest him and defame him because he was very famous. And this Ramchandra Khan was very envious. So he hired prostitutes who, in Prabhupada's words, quote unquote, were very sinful. These were not devotees. So Thakur Haridas knew what was going on, so he told the prostitute, yeah, definitely, no problem, I will enjoy with you, but I made a vow to chant, I think it was 10 million names this month. So just let me finish, the month's almost over, let me finish. And so he said, just, you know, wait for me, I'm about to finish. And so she waited. And he said, I'm sorry I didn't finish today. Came back. So I think it went like 3 days. And finally, on the third day, you know, she was chanting. I think the second day she started chanting, but she became so purified on the third day that she revealed to him why she was there and asked for forgiveness. So the point is, Prabhupada said, just see the power of a pure devotee's chanting that a prostitute could become that purified. And she became completely renounced. It wasn't like, okay, I'll try this process at home. It's, no, you stay here, shave your head. And she did what he did. He said, do what I'm doing. And she transformed so immensely that she became a sadvi overnight. Isn't that amazing? So that was Prabhupada's point. You can't underestimate the power of the vibration of a pure devotee, their chanting or their words, or the power of their association. So, same thing, Bilva Mangala Thakur. Power of that prostitute. That's amazing. She's a prostitute, but she becomes his guru, and she sees him and thinks, this pathetic boy, this pathetic man, he practically risks his life to come to me for some sensual pleasure. He should go to Vrindavan. And then it resonated so deeply that it transformed him. And the other day I was listening to a class. It must have been 1968. And generally, Prabhupada never had questions after class. But in those days, he did. And so a devotee asked a wonderful question. They said, Prabhupada, sometimes we hear and we don't act, right? You hear, and it's just in one ear, out the other. So how do we hear and get it in so we act? And Prabhupada said, if you hear and you don't act, you didn't hear. Whoa. Because we normally think, no, I heard, I just didn't. No, I understand. Did you understand? Yes, I understood. Why didn't you do it? I'm fallen, Prabhu. I don't. It's going to take me time. That was a heavy instruction. I'm not surrendered. You know, go down the whole laundry list, right? And Prabhupada said, "No, you didn't hear." Isn't that interesting? That's a beautiful thought when we say, "I know I should," but no, you don't know you should. Because if you knew you should, according to Prabhupada, you would. So you didn't, like, I say, Prabhu, can you get me 2 apples, 2 oranges, and 2 grapes? And you come back with 2 pears, 2 plums, and 2 mangoes. And I say, I guess you didn't hear what I said. You go, no, I heard what you said. No, you didn't hear what I said. Otherwise, you would. So that's the idea, right? So we have this incident where Bilva Mangala Thakur, he actually heard because he did something. So if you actually hear, you're going to do something. And it went into his heart, and that's the way we want to hear. We want to hear in a way that goes into our heart, so we actually do what we hear. We don't just, it's not just information. So if it's just information, then according to Prabhupada, no, you didn't hear. So we have these examples, or at least this beautiful example. And so what it means to us is that no matter where you come from, no matter what you've done, if you get that vibration of the pure devotee in your heart, you can change. And this is really important to understand. And Prabhupada's making this point here, he's quoting 932, anyone can be Krishna conscious, doesn't matter. And I think a lot of us think, no, it does matter, because my past was so sinful, I'm having such a hard time now. But this was actually asked of Prabhupada. Because sometimes we think past samskara has an effect, yes? Past karma has effect, birth, family, you know, the whole culture I was raised in. We think, okay, that has a very prominent effect on my consciousness and my ability to spread to be Krishna conscious. And Prabhupada never went with that. Although, obviously, it's true, we are conditioned by our past. But when Prabhupada was asked, how does that affect us? He said, nothing material can affect your bhakti. Ahai tukiya pratyata yenatma superseded. Doesn't matter. You can be a prostitute. You can be Bilva Mangala Thakur, visiting a prostitute. You can be a hippie, picked up at Burberry Place in 1968. You don't know where you're coming from, where you're going. And it doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is that you want to execute it, you're sincere, and you do it. That was Prabhupada's answer, and this is very important. Because a lot of us say, oh, Prabhu, I'm so fallen, I'll never be Krishna conscious in this lifetime. Yes? You ever heard someone say that? Have you said it? So, when Prabhupada is asked these questions, what, is it karma, is it sangskara? Is it this? Is it that? Prabhupada said, it's you. Be intelligent, take to it, and do it. And that's what Bilva Mangala Thakur did. One moment, boom. Such a nice story, right? It's like they say, there's nothing as powerful as a decision, and a decision only takes a moment. And once you make that decision, your whole life could change. Okay, I'm going to do this. Right? Now try to think about it. When you became a devotee, yeah, I'm thinking about, yeah, I'm probably going to be a devotee. Yeah, I want to do it. But at one point, you made a decision, wasn't it? At least the brahmachari. I'm going to move in the temple, right? I'm going to leave everything, my friends, my parents are going to practically commit suicide. My friends will disown me. Everyone's going to think I'm crazy. But I made a decision. That was a momentous moment. Might have taken me a month, a year, 10 years, but I finally made the decision. So decisions are powerful when you actually make them, right? And that's Prabhupada's point. If you decide to be Krishna conscious and then you follow the process, it doesn't matter what you did in the past. Because ahaitukiya pratyata, the cause of bhakti is not material, right? Nothing material produces bhakti. That's our philosophy, right? Nothing material produces bhakti, and nothing material stops bhakti. That's our philosophy, right? When they said, Swamiji, what about LSD? What did Prabhupada say? Nothing material can cause bhakti. But we're having these spiritual realizations on LSD. Nothing material can cause bhakti. It's a material substance. How can it cause something spiritual? Nothing material can cause it. Therefore, if it can't cause it, can't stop it. And we say, oh, I'm so fallen, I can't this, I can't that. Then we're saying something material can stop you. Right? Isn't it? Prabhupada never went there. Never went there. We go there all the time. I'm so this, I'm so that. Therefore, I can't this, I can't that. Right? But that's not our philosophy. And the best example is Prahlad Maharaj. Because Prahlad Maharaj is in the worst possible situation to be Krishna conscious. He's going to a school designed to program you to be an atheist. So that's, it doesn't get much worse, and your father is the number one demon in the universe. So it's not really conducive. And that's the example Prabhupada gives. Ahaitukiya pratyata. It's nothing material can stop it. He gives the example of Prahlad Maharaj. Now, one time a devotee was complaining to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, I'm so discouraged. There's so many problems. This one, that one. And Prabhupada said, yes. He said, this is the symptom of a neophyte. He lets other people and other situations discourage him or her. He said, pure devotee, nothing discourages him. Nothing stops. He doesn't allow anything to stop him. Same idea. The only thing that can stop him is his own desire. But if we have a desire, nothing can stop us. So look at Bilva Mangala Thakur. Just not in a good position to be Krishna conscious. Somehow or other, the words of this prostitute enter his heart, not his ear, but his heart, and he makes that decision. And his whole life is changed. And he goes to Vrindavan and he sings to Krishna. The prostitutes. Now, Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Okay, some of us, fortunately or unfortunately, are old enough to know what a hippie is, because we were one. And as Prabhupada said, when he was asked, what is hippie? And he said, it's something very, what did he say? Incredible. Extraordinary. Okay, so this is very important. What I'm going to say, I think, is very important and significant. Prabhupada comes to America on the boat. He's praying. Try to get the context of this. Prabhupada, he's leaving Vrindavan to go to the most materialistic country in the universe. And he has doubts that his message is going to have any effect. He has serious doubts, and that in Markandeya Bhagavat Dharma, you read the poem, my dear Lord Krishna, please make my speaking suitable. How will they understand? They're covered by passion and ignorance. He actually didn't know how they would understand Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada comes to New York, starts preaching, you know, there are difficulties. Finally, they get a place. The hippies are coming. What did Prabhupada do? Did he size them all up and say, nah, I'm going back to Vrindavan. You guys are completely useless. Philosophically, you can't say that, because there's nothing material that can prevent someone from becoming Krishna conscious. Because the holy name is more powerful than Maya. It's more powerful than the sin. It's more powerful than the ignorance. If you just take it, it works. And that's why Prabhupada didn't say, no, I'm going back to Vrindavan, you're useless. Because it kind of seemed like they were useless, you know, externally, right? A bunch of hippies, you're going to give this brahminical life to a bunch of hippies? It actually doesn't make sense. But if you look at it from this perspective, Prabhupada knows the holy name can do anything. It saved Jagai and Madai. These hippies are not as bad as Jagai and Madai. They're not killing people. They're not getting drunk every day. They come from decent families. They're just confused. So Prabhupada knew the holy name could do it. It could do it for anyone. It doesn't matter if you just take it and you just follow the process. So that's really important to understand, because a lot of times we think, oh, I'm so fallen, it's so hard, I don't know if I could make it. Maybe another life, maybe another 10. And what did Prabhupada say? 16 rounds, four principles of this life. There's a contradiction here. I feel I can't make it in this life, Prabhupada saying yes. Why? Prabhupada knows the power of the holy name. Convinced the holy name can do it. And you have a whole history. Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Magrari the Hunter, Jagai Madai, so on and so forth. People becoming saved by the holy name. And here's the proof in the modern day. Hippies, doesn't get much lower than that, right? LSD for breakfast, different girlfriend every weekend. So Prabhupada didn't say, not you. I'm going uptown to the rich, wealthy. No. He said, no. You're the ones that want it. I'll give it to you. And the holy name is pure, is powerful enough. It will purify you. So how can we say I'm too fallen, it won't work, when we have the history in front of us? It did work. And those same hippies eating LSD for breakfast are now gurus. So I guess it works, right? In case you doubt it, if you think, oh, Jagai Madai, that's just a story. Actually, they were Jai and Bijai. Yeah, well, this is not a story. This is real life, you know. So this very, very important point, if you feel like this life, I can't do it. No, Prabhupada came to take you back in this life. He didn't come to take you back in another life. He came to take you back in this life. And he promised, if you chant 16 rounds, and follow the four principles. Why four principles? Because you can't chant purely if you don't follow four principles. Because if you don't follow four principles, then it puts you in passion and ignorance, and your holy name is not effective. But if you can get to goodness, have a sattvic lifestyle, follow four principles that will keep you in goodness, your holy name will be powerful enough to purify you no matter what. And what do we say? One holy name, all your sins go away. It's like, there's no big deal for the holy name. But Prabhu, I'm so sinful. Big deal. One holy name. Phew. Bye-bye. Sin's gone. No problem. Right? It's not a problem for the holy name. We think it's a problem. Maybe we're not taking the holy name properly, and therefore we think it's a problem. Right? Yes? That's the real problem, of course. So I want to address one other thing, because this is also controversial. The last point Prabhupada made is that devotees have all good qualities and non-devotees don't have any good qualities. That's another like, scratch your head. Really? This devotee was just screaming at me and told me he was going to kill me. And, you know, my best friend just called me up and he was just, like, praising me. You know, I don't understand. You know. So there are different ways of explaining this, but I'd like to explain it the way Prabhupada explained it, because that way we don't have to guess what Prabhupada meant. And so Prabhupada explained this. He said, why do we say this? He said, because our standard of morality is always changing. We make up good. And, you know, when you say they have no good qualities, what do you mean by good in the first place? What's good? Oh, but this is good because he's very humble. Yeah, he's humble, very meek, and yeah, but he doesn't believe in God. So how can you be humble and not believe in God? So how are you defining these good qualities? You know, like I like to ask the question, can an atheist have good qualities? Someone will ask you that, and they want you to say, yes, of course. And our answer is, yes, of course, but not divine qualities. They can have the shadow, the material quality. He's very humble. But how can you be humble if you don't believe in God and follow God's order, right? Because humility means I'm dependent on God. So how can you really be humble without being a devotee? You can't, but you can be, you know, you can go in front of me. Oh, he's a humble guy. Materially, okay, by material standards of humility. But Prabhupada said, this verse, Harava Bhakta Shakuto Mahagunan, they have no good qualities because mano retena. They're defining good according to the way they decide to define it. So, you know, it's good by them. And then Prabhupada, he nailed it and he said, yeah, they say he's good, but he eats meat. So it kind of like undermines the whole thing. He's a nice guy. He's humble. He's kind. It's true. And he's a meat eater. Kind of, you know, ruined it. Yes? So that was Prabhupada's point. And a devotee may not have so-called good qualities, not so visible, but he's a devotee. So that has to be understood. But at the same time, we should not become proud. Oh, I'm a devotee. I have all good qualities. You're not a devotee. You have no good qualities. That will not help you. Because when we see someone who is humble, We're supposed to think, oh, he's so humble, I should be humble like him. We're not supposed to think, oh, he's not a devotee, so he's just bad and dirty, and I'm a devotee and I'm great. That would be a paradox, right? The reality is, and this is very interesting, the reality is, humility means you see everyone better than you. Not just devotees, everyone. When Mahaprabhu says Trinadapi Sunichina, he's not saying be humble to devotees, he's saying be humble to everyone. Right? Amanina, amanadena, respect everyone, not just devotees. Respect the senior devotees. That's easy. Right? Are we easier than respecting your friends, easier than respecting the juniors, right? And easier than respecting non-devotees. And Bhaktisiddhanta said, jhana aparad. You have Vaishnava aparad, you have jhana aparad. What is jhana aparad? It means offending people. That's an aparad. It's not going to destroy your bhakti, but it's not going to help it. It's going to be an impediment. It's just offensive to people. So humility means everyone better than me. Could you imagine? We have a ways to go, don't you think? So we have to, put these things in context. Devotees have all good qualities. I'm a devotee. I have all good qualities. Non-devotees have no good qualities. You're not a devotee. You have no good qualities. This is a tattva. It's a philosophy to understand what it means to be a devotee and what it means to have good quality. It's not a rasa to go condemn the universe and pound your chest. I'm a devotee. Right? But that's sometimes what we do. Yes? Sometimes. You've seen it? Can happen, right? We're hankering so much for honor. Any shloka you can find a way to get some honor. We're like, wow, here's my chance. We're crazy, yeah. But we need to understand things in this context. So the sign says end at 8:30. That's why I like giving classes on Saturday. You get till 8:45 and Sunday till 9. Wow. Okay, so we have some time for comments or questions.